Birth, the Grand Division, Chapter 31. "We're coming up on Irwin," said Dick, as the other three people in the car roused from their sleep. "Is anyone hungry besides me?"
"I am," said Katie.
"Yeah, me too," said Kyle. "Let me turn this thing on and see what we have for background. Donna, would you flip that black switch on the case back there on the floor to the on position?"
"Yeah, sure,"
she said, leaning down and flipping the switch.
"I have a red light on it."
"Good. Give me a second to pull up the program," said Kyle.
"So what does that program do?" asked Katie.
"This is a multi-spectrum spectrometer using the two detectors in the trunk. That thing back there is the power supply and the signal conditioner for the laptop. It will tell us everything that is radioactive around here."
"Will it work while we're driving?" asked Donna.
"Oh, yeah. That 4-inch crystal back there will pick up a small packet of alpha particles on the run, as long as the car doesn't block it," said Kyle.
"We have an aluminum hood and trunk lid," said Dick.
"That's like an open window for radiation," said Kyle.
"Which way do I turn up here?" asked Dick.
"Turn right and follow the mountain road. It will go right by nuclear fuel services, and we should be able to pick up something," said Kyle.
"Got it. Hold on. I'm going to zip up the road ahead of these cars," said Dick, squeezing down on the accelerator and sinking everyone down in their seats for a few seconds.
"Okay, here's what we have. Cesium, uranium, radon, thorium, sodium-40.
Holy shit, this place is active," he said.
"What does that mean?" said Dick.
"It means their trucks have been hauling stuff in and out of here for years and have the whole area contaminated," said Donna.
"Yeah, basically that's right," said Kyle. "All of these have different half-lives, so it tells a story of their activity and when they last passed this way."
"Yes, radon has a short half-life and it's a daughter of uranium," said Katie.
"That's right, and we have some actual radioactive waste here, because some of this has a half-life of 12,000 years, said Kyle.
"Judas Priest, 12,000 years? Asked Dick.
"See what I mean?
I told you," said Donna.
"Okay, guys, we're looking for plutonium here. The range of neutrons will be along this band right here," said Kyle, pointing to his 17-inch screen.
"I got a few little blips here, but nothing recent. Go down past the trucking entrance and head up the road. I have a feeling that they might have taken this stuff out in smaller trucks and headed out the back way," said Donna.
"You're the boss," said Dick.
The Challenger rolled past the secure entrance and wound past the trucking entrance and up the mountain road. It was almost evening when they made the first curve.
"Should we go down into town and get something to eat and maybe drain the bodies? Besides, I need some premium go juice if we're going to go very much further," said Dick.
"Probably a good idea," said Katie.
"Okay, hit the turnaround area up there and we'll go back to town by the freeway," said Kyle.
Dick slowed down for the cutout on the right-hand side and slowed to a crawl to make the turn. He swung the car in and began to turn the wheel hard to the left.
"Hold it," said Kyle.
"Stop the car, right here."
"You got it, buddy. We're off the road," said Dick.
"What the F? Are you seeing this?" asked Kyle.
"Yeah. You mean that spike right there?" asked Katie.
"What the hell is that?" asked Donna.
Kyle's mind began racing, and he could feel a wave of panic rising in his chest.
"You okay, little brother?" asked Dick.
"We have something here," he said.
"Is it plutonium?" asked Donna.
"No. I mean, hell no. This is something that is not supposed to be here. I mean, not here, you know, in this world, not here. This is theoretical, but it's not supposed to be outside of a massive magnetic field, you know, like CERN or something."
"We're on the freaking street," said Kyle, his mouth only accessing part of what was going on in his mind.
"Try English, buddy," said Dick.
"This is in the teravolt range, and it's pure energy," said Kyle.
"What does that mean?" said Dick.
"I mean zero-point energy," said Kyle, like he had just discovered the Holy Grail.
"Where's it coming from?" asked Katie.
"It's coming from the car," said Kyle, doing massive calculations in his mind.
We don't have time for this, said Katie. Can you record this? Asked Donna. I'm logging it. No one will ever believe this. I never knew, said Kyle, almost on the verge of tears. What is it, buddy? Asked Dick. The magnets, the coils we installed on the car. It's got to be. But we're not using nitrous oxide. We don't have any gas on board. We need to get back to the lab as soon as possible, said Kyle. Kyle, you need to focus on the mission at hand, said Katie, raising her voice. Those warheads are rolling toward a port somewhere. We need you to focus. Hold on, Katie. Kyle doesn't do focus like you and me. Chill out a little, said Dick. You need to get a grip, Mr. Daring, she shouted. Millions of people are at risk here. You don't know what I know, so shut your pie hole. I didn't sign on for your ghost hunt, said Dick, raising his voice. What's that supposed to mean, you pompous little shit? Said Katie, slapping the back of Dick's headrest. That's it for you, then. And Dick opened the car door, popped out of his harness. Get out. What? Out, both of you. Kyle, give them a flashlight so together they might be able to find their asses when the sun goes down, said Dick. Kyle reached in the door pocket and tossed Dick a black flashlight. He was quiet now. When Dick got like this, there was no talking to him. This was the inner drive inside of him that won races against the impossible. It was raw Dick Daring roaring through his arteries and getting ready to make a car do things it's not built to do. Things only he knew how to do. Fine. We can find our way. I got a cell phone and a debit card, said Katie, crawling out of the back seat and standing to face Dick. Donna, come on. The little boys here want to go chase their dream. Get a life, Dick Daring, she spat. Dick waited motionless for Donna to exit the car, slid back into the cockpit of the Challenger, and closed the door. Within seconds, he had refastened his harness and stabbed the throttle, lighting the back tires up and leaving the girls alone in a cloud of blue smoke. Nothing. I want to hear nothing but some good tunes, said Dick, as Kyle reached up for the dash and turned on the stereo. Where are we going? Asked Kyle. Away from them, said Dick. They rode in silence while Kyle punched nervously at the keyboard. His mind felt like it had a huge hole blown out the side as he considered what he had just discovered. The truth was that no one really understood electricity. Well, they knew how to calculate horsepower and coulombs and Faradays, but they didn't exactly know where the electrons come from when the magnet induces the current flow in the wire. That fact, that it was even discovered, was an accident. And a number of PhDs later, we had night baseball games. The next discovery was made by a scientist named Casimir, who put two very flatly machined metal plates very close to one another in a vacuum. What appeared in the space between the plates were measurable charged particles. They just appeared out of what became known as the zero point. From that time, no one has been able to do it on purpose and with volume. What Kyle had just witnessed using his sodium iodide detectors was pure energy in a narrow frequency band coming through the dimensions. It was a discovery that would put the world's nuclear coal, gas-fired power plants out of business and clean up the air of the planet. It could provide cheap, clean, continuous energy for third world countries. It was quite possibly the most important discovery in energy history. So how much do you think this is worth? Asked Dick, trying to set the brief period they had had women in their lives behind them. I don't know, said Kyle vacantly. You don't know? Can't you make a guess? Asked Dick. I don't know. I don't know, okay? I mean, I can't think right now. We got it all wrong for so long, and the guys in charge of everything will never, I mean, they will never allow it to come out. We might as well have discovered how to turn road gravel into 24-karat gold, said Kyle. So what's the next step? Where do we go from here? Asked Dick. That's what I just asked you, and you said away from them. I liked Donna, said Kyle with a profound sadness in his voice. I know you did, buddy. And I'm sorry about that. But women,
in general, are trouble for captains like you and me, and those two more than most, said Dick.
What do you mean, captains? Asked Kyle.
Kirk, Picard, dude, they don't have women. They have their ship. They get to kiss the green bitches, but they don't have perma-babes. See what I'm saying? Asked Dick, trying to use the best logic he could muster.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a captain, I don't think.
Even Worf had Troy, said Kyle.
And so did Number One, said Dick, making his point.
True. But I really liked her, said Kyle again.
Dick let off the gas and coasted into the gas station on the right side of the two-lane highway. He got out and filled both tanks of the Challenger while Kyle sat almost motionless except for his fingers on the keyboard of his laptop. He felt the Tennessee mountain breeze blow through his hair, not held in place with his eye patch. He replaced the nozzle and slid into his seat.
The truck stopped here, said Kyle distantly.
What truck? Asked Dick.
The truck with the warheads. It stopped at this station. I have two peaks right here.
They're very close to one another, but they are plutonium spikes, he said.
Why are there two of them? Asked Dick.
I think there are two warheads. They each have plutonium from different reactors. They have different numbers of neutrons. It's random, but they are right there. Neutrons from those weapons are still here, said Kyle.
Where does this road go? Asked Dick.
Interstate 81.
It goes north, said Kyle.
Okay. Let's go back, said Dick.
Really?
Asked Kyle with an excitement in his voice.
Yeah, really.
We can give the next world free energy. What do you say? Asked Dick.
I say, how fast can this grape ape go? Said Kyle.
Dick laid his foot down on the accelerator as he made the turn out onto the highway, and the Challenger smoothly surged up to 100 miles an hour. Within 4 minutes, they were back at the turnout where Dick had ejected the girls. The small, round lot was empty.
Shit, said Dick.
Now what? Asked Kyle.
They can't have gone far. Probably hitched a ride, said Dick.
You don't think they got arrested again, do you? Asked Kyle.
God, I hope not. I have a limit of one rescue from federal agents per day, said Dick.
Well, they didn't go our way. Maybe they went back the way we came, said Kyle.
Why don't you call Donna and see where they are? Tell her I'm sorry, said Dick.
Yeah, well, I would, except I don't have her number, said Kyle.
You slept with her and you didn't get her number? Asked Dick.
That's like out of order, dude.
We were naked. I mean, not right away, but the last thing on our minds was trading numbers, said Kyle.
Okay, think, damn it. There's a truck stop we passed on the way here. Let's go there, said Dick.
Within minutes, Dick pulled into the Flying J truck stop.
Kyle was scanning the police bands for any news of the two being arrested again.
No radio or text traffic about them, said Kyle.
Dick got out of the car and walked into the full-service truck stop. He walked into the retail area and then into the attached restaurant. The two girls were sitting at the counter with a middle-aged trucker that might have been their ride. He was clearly flirting with them, and Katie looked like she was trying to politely make him go away. Dick walked up to the three of them sitting at the food counter on the single-post stools.
Hey, Katie. Little Susie's in the car wanting her mommy. Can you please come home? He said.
What the? She said, turning toward Dick with fire in her eyes.
Dick didn't move and didn't take his eye off hers.
Donna began looking around for Kyle.
She giving you any trouble, buddy? Sometimes she gets a wild hair, you know, said Dick without looking at the trucker.
No, we were just talking.
I'll see you down the road, maybe, he said to Katie as he got up and walked out of the truck stop.
You're an asshole, said Katie.
Tried to tell you, said Dick without blinking.
I can't be with you, she began.
Kyle found the truck, or at least he knows which way it went, he said.
No shit, asked Katie.
Where's Kyle? Asked Donna.
He's in the car. He's not Captain Picard, he said.
No, he's Data, she said, smiling, sliding off the stool and shuffling for the door.
Kirk's dad was married, you know,
said Katie, smiling shyly at Dick. I'm sorry. It's just when it comes to Kyle, I get... He paused, made a fist, and punched his other palm. I figured that's what it was. Look, I wasn't thinking. I just reacted, she said. Well, now it's time to act. We think they're headed north, said Dick, holding out his hand for her to slide off the stool. I have a full tank. Good. You might need it, she said, jumping off the stool and throwing her arms around his neck and kissing him on the mouth. Let's go. We have a truck to catch, he said, kissing her back on the mouth. You ever put me out again like that, I'll kick your ass, said Katie. I deserve that, said Dick. Think you can catch up with it? Asked Katie, referring to the truck. That's what the other crew chiefs say, said Dick, opening his door for her to climb in the back seat. Dick took the Challenger back up the two-lane highway to where they picked up the trail. The station where they stopped is up here about 3 miles, said Kyle. So 81 only basically goes north from there, unless they headed for Florida. What does your gut say? Asked Dick. My gut? My guess would be Virginia or Baltimore, said Katie. I think we should call Jones, said Kyle. Okay, said Dick. Kyle dialed the number and pressed the phone to his ear. Jones was the answer. Kyle here. Hey, we found a station where a transport vehicle appears to have stopped for a while. I have 2 peaks, which means there are 2 plutonium warheads. Do they have surveillance cameras? Asked Jones. Probably, said Kyle. Get a plate and a description on the truck to me as quick as you can, said Jones. Okay, I'll get back to you soon, said Kyle, and he ended the call. Pull back into that gas station. We need to ID that truck, said Kyle. Dick pulled the Challenger into the station. You and Donna, go get the ID. We'll get some food for the road. It could be a long night, said Dick. Kyle grabbed a thumb drive from his shoulder bag on the floor of the Challenger, and he and Donna approached the customer service counter. How are you tonight? Asked Kyle. What can I do for you? Asked the man behind the counter. He was tall and large and wore a plaid short-sleeved shirt that showed several military tattoos on his very large upper arms. We are with the Secret Service, and we need to see your surveillance video for the past few hours, said Kyle without flinching. Secret Service, huh? He said. Treasury? Presidential, said Kyle. Seriously? I think Riker kicks ass, he said. What are you looking for? Nuclear Fuel Services vehicle, said Donna, finally entering the conversation. Oh, yeah. I took that sale. He came in about 4:30, just after I got here. Come on, I'll show you. And the group started walking for the office at the rear of the store. The manager very quickly punched in the time on the digital recorder, and the traffic began to play on the monitor. Can you speed it up to say double time? Asked Kyle. Yeah. Just press this button and the speed will continue to double to like 16 times speed. Then just press the black square to stop it, and the pause button here to pause it, he said. Cool. Kyle deftly sped up the playback until the single-axle package truck went flashing by. He hit the pause button, then reversed to back it up to the frames with the truck. The truck was parked for about 10 minutes, so the sampling camera had a clear picture of the truck. Frame by frame, he backed up to the moment the truck came into view, and he stuck the thumb drive into the USB port. Within seconds, he had saved the video from this point forward for 20 minutes. Thanks. Thanks. I'll tell the president you're a big fan. If he was president 3 years ago, I would have stayed in. I just couldn't take that crap anymore, he said. You're a good man. Keep up the great work, said Kyle, and the two walked back out to the car. Dick and Katie walked out just after them with 2 large sacks from Subway and an 8-pack of Pepsi. They had pastrami, said Dick as he unlocked the doors and everyone climbed in. Within a few minutes, everyone was eating a 6-inch section of Subway sandwich, and Kyle had loaded a thumb drive into his laptop. The video was played in slow motion until the back of the truck came into view. He zoomed in and clarified the picture to show the license plate. He dialed Jones. Hey, it's me, said Kyle. What is your report? Asked Jones, without the agent's sterility. I got a plate, and I'm sending you a photo of the truck, said Kyle. Good man. You make a good agent, said Jones with an upbeat voice.
Yeah, except for the bullets. I have an allergy.
We all do, Kyle, said Jones.
Where are you now?
On Interstate 81 headed north. Katie thinks they are headed for Baltimore or Virginia. Best guess.
Okay, let me know once you have it narrowed down. Don't get too close, understand? Asked Jones.
I got it, no problem, said Kyle.
It didn't take long to get from Kingsport to Charlottesville, where they determined to take another slow-speed reading. They pulled off for a bathroom break, and Kyle kept the equipment running to see if even a small reading could be detected in the same spectrum. When everyone returned for the car, Kyle reported that nothing was found. They got back onto Interstate 64 and turned back north on Interstate 81.
Next stop is Baltimore, said Kyle.
They had been on the road for the better part of 6 hours when Kyle's phone rang.
Hello?
Kyle, this is Jones. I ran that plate. That was the easy part. I spent the next 5 hours getting a GPS location for the truck. I am showing that they are heading north on Interstate 95. They are stuck in very slow traffic around Chester, Pennsylvania.
Okay. It's possible we can catch up with them to validate our reading, but what is the plan? Asked Kyle.
Do not pursue. We have units on the way to that location, said Jones.
So that's it, then. We'll grab a place in Baltimore for the night and recharge, said Kyle.
Good job, guys, said Jones.
So what's the plan, buddy? Asked Dick.
Jones used the plate info and obtained the GPS locator for that truck. It's stuck in traffic near Chester, and it's about to have company, said Kyle.
Wow, that's a load off, said Dick.
So now what's the plan? Asked Katie.
I'm open for a vote, said Dick, but my vote is a hotel overlooking Baltimore Harbor and some excellent seafood.
I'm down with that, said Kyle. The two girls raised their hands, and Dick pointed the car toward the beltway that led to the harbor area. Within an hour, Kyle had located a Residence Inn with a view of the water and booked two rooms. He had also located a seafood restaurant on the wharf and made reservations for 10 p.m. It took a little while to find one with a late kitchen, but it is a political town, so it wasn't impossible. By 9 p.m., they were parked in the lot, and without luggage, they checked in and washed up in the two rooms for supper and met back downstairs by 9:30. They jumped in the car and made the short drive the few blocks to the wharfside restaurant. The table was perfect, set against a plate glass window with a view of the boats lined up in the marina.
It's nice when you can have a good meal while you're saving the world, said Kyle.
I'd like to see the look on their faces when the feds show up, said Katie.
Dick felt a chill go down his spine.
What did you say? He asked.
I'd like to see the look on their faces when the feds show up, said Katie.
Jesus H. Christ. Kyle, call Jones and find out what happened, said Dick.
What's the problem? Asked Donna.
The feds are the problem, said Dick. For all we know, they gave that truck a police escort to the ship.
Kyle entered the number for Jones.
Hey, Agent Jones.
Yes, Kyle, said Jones.
Do you have an update on the truck?
I mean, did they get those guys? Asked Kyle quietly.
We got them all right.
There were two warheads on that truck, with the trigger still in place, said Jones.
And the cores? Did they have cores in place? Asked Kyle.
I don't have that information yet. The trigger explosive is on the outside of the warhead case.
I'll get back with you, said Jones, and he ended the call.
Well, let's eat, said Kyle.
What did he say? Asked Dick.
They're busted. We'll find out in a few hours if the cores were in them, said Kyle.
What? Asked Katie.
The plutonium cores. The triggers were in place, but without a core, it's just a dirty bomb.
They have to have cores. It was on the manifest, said Katie.
What does that mean if they don't have cores? Asked Dick.
It means someone removed them.
But without a trigger, a core by itself is not very dangerous, said Donna.
What's the point of that? Asked Dick.
It means it's a decoy, said Donna.
Yeah, typical CIA op. They let something get caught so that something else can get away, said Katie.
You guys watch too many movies, said Dick.
They ordered a good meal and drank some white wine with their fish. The marina was full of boats, and some were moving out into harbor.
Baltimore was a busy harbor. From a security standpoint, it has always been a challenge to keep it safe. It was clear to the little group that it was peaceful out of pure luck. At that moment, Kyle's phone rang again. "Hello?" said Kyle. "Chones here. Listen, it will take some time before we have the right experts to take these warheads apart, but they're pretty sure your hunch was right. They removed the cores and put the triggers back in place. In other words, they're decoys. They meant these to get caught," said Kyle. "Good observation," said Jones. "Yeah, good and confusing," said Kyle. "Where are you guys?" asked Jones. "Residence Inn, Baltimore," said Kyle. "You're local. I think the boss would be okay with you joining us for a meeting tomorrow," said Jones. "It shall be done. Text me the directions, and we'll be there," said Kyle. "Thanks, Kyle," and the call ended. He explained the call to Dick and the girls in hushed tones. They skipped dessert and decided to go back to the hotel and get ready to go to the Capitol the next day. "Hey, guys, can I get a hand carrying this stuff into the room? I want to do some checks to see if the signals I was getting actually came from the magnets in the car or not," said Kyle. "Yeah, sure," said Dick. Within 20 minutes, they were upstairs in their respective rooms overlooking the Baltimore Marina. "I'm so sorry about today," said Kyle to Donna when they arrived at their room. "That's okay. I knew it would turn out," said Donna. Kyle set the large detector on the desk in the room and hooked up the power supply to the laptop. He had a 120-volt adapter to power it. Within a few minutes, Donna was standing behind him and massaging his neck while he tapped the keyboard into life with the right programs. "Just as I thought," he said. "What?" asked Donna. "The zero-point signals are gone. But here is something strange," he said, dragging the mouse to overlay the log from the previous reading. "Bingo. Those two peaks are the plutonium peaks you saw before?" asked Donna. "Nope. These are the ones I'm detecting now. I just overlaid the logged ones, and they match," said Kyle. "Wait, you're detecting peaks now, and they match the peaks you detected before? But doesn't that mean," she began to ask. "Yes, it does," said Kyle, clapping his hands together. "The two warheads they caught were decoys, because it was the wrong truck, clearly marked Nuclear Fuel Services. There was another truck, unmarked, that had the second pair of warheads, and it is here, somewhere in this marina." Kyle picked up his phone. He thought for a moment and decided to text Jones instead with full encryption to call back on a secure line. Within 3 minutes, his phone rang. "This is Kyle," he said. "Jones here. What's your report?" "I set up the detector overlooking the Baltimore Arena at the Residence Inn. I got the plutonium peaks again. They're here, in the marina," said Kyle. "But you said they were in the truck," said Jones. "Those are the decoys in the Nuclear Fuel Services truck. There are two other warheads in an unmarked vehicle here in this marina, or they were recently," said Kyle. "That complicates things," said Jones. "One more thing," said Kyle. "Make it fast. I have to get an action team going," said Jones. "I'm not seeing the triggers. The enriched uranium needed for the trigger is not showing up. Neither is the tritium. These warheads are made to order for hiding somewhere," said Kyle. "Thanks, Kyle. Let me talk to the boss and I'll get back to you," said Jones, and the call ended. Donna was still standing behind Kyle, rubbing his shoulders while he talked to Jones. The room was quiet except for the quiet cooling fan blowing on the power converter for the detector. They had done amazing things in the last 2 days. Tomorrow they would be meeting the president and seeing the rest of the team of experts and misfits that somehow had risen to the challenge of saving the world. It was a good feeling, even though they knew the two Earths would soon move again further away from one another, causing great calamity. "You want to make out?" she asked.